Welcome to a special Thanksgiving edition of The Takeaway. I'm Melissa Harris Perry, and we're so honored that you're spending part of your Thanksgiving holiday with us. We have a food-filled show for you today. So, if you're in the kitchen prepping, taking a drive to see friends or relatives, or just enjoying a little downtime today, we welcome you. And if you're one of the millions of Americans who has to put in some work hours today, or if you're spending this holiday alone, we just want to say you're invited to our Thanksgiving. So go ahead and turn up the volume, settle in, and enjoy Thanksgiving with Team Takeaway. Now, I'll confess, Thanksgiving is my favorite holiday. I simply adore the opportunity to spend some time with my favorite people while eating some of my favorite food, which is why this woman is at the head of the takeaway table this year.
My name is Carla Hall. My latest cookbook is Carla Hall's Soul Food, Every Day in Celebration.
Carla Hall.
Oh, Melissa Harris Perry. Oh, I love you, girl.
I am so excited to talk to you.
Not as excited as I am. Okay, maybe it's mutually excited. Hi. Happy Thanksgiving.
Carla Hall is a chef, author, motivational speaker, and TV personality. She co-hosted the ABC talk show, The Chew, from 2011 to 2018. And I first fell in love with Carla when she appeared as a contestant on the fifth season of Bravo's Top Chef. My eldest daughter, who's now 20, and I watched the show religiously, and we rooted for Carla at every stage of the competition.
Something that my husband and I say when we go out and we can't find each other, one of us will say hootie and the other one will say hoo, hootie, hootie.
And now it's my 8-year-old youngest daughter who cuddles up with me to watch Carla Hall as a judge on holiday baking shows.
First of all, I'm really honored that I've been a presence in your family from the oldest to the youngest. I have all of these young fans, and I was out one day and I don't know, this little boy was about 5 years old and he's walking with his mom. He's like, oh, that's Carla. And she's, I hear her say, no, that's not her. That's not her. He's like, yes, it is. Yes, it is. Cause I saw her on the Halloween Bacon Championship. And it was the funniest thing that I have these little fans and I'm here for it. And I'm so honored and because it's just good, clean, delicious fun, you know?
It is. I mean, I've really found that actually this is the family TV that we can watch, right? But the one thing that we, you know, come together and it's going to happen on Thanksgiving, we're going to turn on and watch the cooking shows, the baking championships. There is something about it that really does span those aspects of family.
Oh, 100%. 100%. I think, and it's the same for us. I'm going to my husband's family's Thanksgiving or to Michigan this year for Thanksgiving. And, you know, it's 90-year-olds. I think the youngest is 25, but it's still that generational, that multi-generational audience. And it's like, what can we all agree on to do together? Yeah, I get it.
Now, I wanted to know how to bring the multi-generational fun off the couch and into the kitchen by getting everyone involved in preparing Thanksgiving dinner.
Well, when I came out with my first cookbook, and that was in 2011, the impetus was that it can't always be on me to do the meals, the holiday meals, as much as I love doing them. I decided that everyone needed to have a recipe that they were responsible for. And if that means that you curate the recipes from your favorite cookbooks or a family's recipe, you know, family member's recipe, I stopped controlling it. And now like with my new cookbook, with my newest cookbook, Carla Hall Soul Food, I'm like, okay, the younger people, because I call myself the culinary matriarch. My mother's 82. She's around, but she doesn't like to cook. So she's relegated to the cornbread. Like, mama, you're going to make the cornbread because that cornbread is going to become the cornbread dressing. So it's not precious. We're going to break it up. We're going to toast it, you know, all the things. But I had my nephews and my niece. And at the time they were sort of early 20s to late 20s. And I said, pick a recipe. I don't care what it is. I don't care if it's the barbecue chicken wings. Pick a recipe that you want to have for Thanksgiving so that they are responsible for it. And before I started doing that, I started delegating. So you're doing the macaroni and cheese, you're doing this, because I wanted them to understand the stories and the food of our family. And without getting them involved, they don't really have a connection to it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Even if it is presumably imperfect in some way, you got to put your fingers in there, right? You've got to crack those eggs yourself. You have to, or you don't feel that it belongs to you in the same way.
Right. And even when it starts to get better and you're like, and they have that sense of pride that they made this dish. I mean, it's invaluable and I love it every single time. But then there is the time when my niece thought that she had the macaroni and cheese down. And then I got the call from my youngest nephew. He said, Auntie, this is an intervention call. The macaroni and cheese is great. I need you to make it. I need you to make some set. This is not good. We can't have that.
All right. So we know Carla Hall is doing a mac and cheese intervention, but I wanted to know what else is on her Thanksgiving menu this year.
There are only a few of us, so I'm doing a pan-seared turkey breast versus an entire turkey. And there are two members of the family who have gout, so they can't do turkey. But turkey needs to be there, right? So
yes,
it will be a pan-seared turkey breast. And then the glazed ham. We will have side dishes, which include macaroni and cheese. Collards, which sometimes I mix them. I mix greens into them. I'll have collards, kale, and mustard. But collards with a smoked paprika pot liquor, which is completely vegan because we can't do the smoked turkey or anything. And then cornbread dressing, candied sweet potatoes. We're going to do that's the royal we, me, a masala mushroom gravy, which I love the taste of the mushrooms, but I'm going to strain the mushrooms out because I like a smooth gravy. And then apple cranberry sauce. And that's something that I kind of change every year. I'm like, do I put port in it? Do I add apples? Do I do pears? Do I just do cranberries and onions? You know, so that kind of is flexible. This year is going to be apples and cranberries. And then I do sweet potato rolls, which are very much like the yeast rolls that you have for the holidays.
Mm-hmm. I do a lot of sweet potatoes on the holiday, but I haven't done them in the rolls yet. That I wonder, could I do it with butternut? I grew a lot of butternut this
year.
Yes.
Oh, so 100%.
Many. Okay. Because everybody's about to get butternut squash in everything. I grew way too many this year.
100%. First of all, I'm impressed that you grew your own butternut squash. Wow.
So I am like a bit of an unrepentant country girl. And after I left TV and had a little time, what I did with all my time was to put 27 chickens in my backyard and about an acre and a half of vegetables. I have sort of a problem. Yeah. Listening to Carla made me want all the recipes. Luckily, she's authored several cookbooks. The most recent, Carla Hall's Soul Food, Everyday and Celebration. I want to also just talk to you about the word soul. Talk to me about what makes something soul food.
Well, I think it depends on if you're talking about a proper noun, capital S, capital F, soul food, and that is the food of African Americans and from the Black diaspora. So that is very clear. It's no one else. I mean, that is our food that comes out of the experience of the enslaved. And then there is little f soul food, and those soulful dishes that brings a sense of home to people. And I don't care where you're from, what those dishes are, but it's something that feeds your soul. But I think there's a definite distinction. One is a cuisine and one is a dish.
And before I let her go, I just had to ask Carla about one of the most important parts of Thanksgiving cuisine. What do you do about leftovers?
I expect and want leftovers. So I love making biscuits. I would put biscuits with a little bit of dressing on there, the cranberries, the ham or the turkey, and that would be a biscuit sandwich. I mean, everyone thinks about the soup or something like that. Even if I wasn't doing a smaller Thanksgiving dinner, I'd break my turkey down like a chicken. So I have the carcass to use for the stock and the gravy ahead of time. But that gravy can become a soup of sorts. And the collards can become, chop it up and throw it into like empanadas or soul rolls with phyllo dough or something like that. I mean, I think it's super fun. The sweet potato, the candied sweet potatoes can become another version. If you take whipped cream and mix it in there, that can become a mousse.
Mm.
So I'm constantly thinking about how to do my leftovers. Like even with the cornbread dressing, my dressing is more like a spoon bread. So it's not separated like pieces of bread. So it's more like you can cut it, take that and you can sear it. And then you can put an egg over it, you know, which would be delicious.
Let me ask, what is next for you? What are your new projects? What are you looking forward to?
I have a show that hopefully will eventually come out. It's been filmed. It's on, it will be on Discovery Plus. It's a travelogue show and it's about food and giving credit to the cultures who had a hand in a particular dish and as it changed and morphed into another thing. Because I think that sometimes when you don't see yourself in the continuum of a dish, you don't realize that your history is like cut off. And so I'm very passionate about that. And the thing that I really want to do, that I want to create, is a one-woman show that's live, it's food and storytelling and comedy.
Carla Hall, thank you so much for sharing a little bit of Thanksgiving with us and for making a date for next year, because I am putting it on the calendar.
It is a standing date. I have thoroughly enjoyed chatting with you. This is so good. I'm so grateful. What am I grateful for? You and this conversation.
The Thanksgiving goodness doesn't stop here. I don't know if you're even prepared for what's next. Let's just say, get your notepad and your phones ready to jot down some of the top recipes from our favorite chefs.
The archives at Carnegie Hall hold treasures from our cultural history. In the new podcast, If This Hall Could Talk, we use these items as touchstones to explore how the past shaped the world we live in today. I'm your host, Jessica Vosk, and I'll be joined by historians, performers, cultural critics, and others to look back at the iconic venue's legendary and sometimes quirky history. If This Hall Could Talk, from Carnegie Hall and distributed by WQXR. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
Back with this Thanksgiving edition of The Takeaway, I'm Melissa Harris-Perry. And words cannot begin to describe the three chefs who are about to serve some culinary goodness for you.
Hi, my name is Samin Nosrat. I'm the author of Salt, Fat, Acid, Heat and the co-host of the podcast Home Cooking.
I am Rodney Scott, a pitmaster and co-founder of Rodney Scott's Whole Hog Barbecue and author of Rodney Scott's World of Barbecue, Every Day is a Good Day.
My name is Patty Himich. I'm chef, cookbook author, and TV host of Patty's Mexican Table and La Frontera on PBS.
Let's start with Chef Patty, who told us why she loves Thanksgiving so much.
I just feel like it is the perfect moment for everybody to bring to the table the things that they love the most. But there's a framework, right? Like there's the classic dishes and the classic staples that everyone expects. So there's like this canvas that's been set. And as long as there's a turkey or some sweet potatoes or, you know, a pecan pie. There's always the room to add your flair and your flavors.
All right, so let's get down to the food. Since Chef Rodney is a barbecue pit master, we asked him whether some BBQ would be gracing his Thanksgiving table.
Barbecue, I don't know if I'm going to bring barbecue to this dinner. I just might. But this year, I'm surprising them with a smoked turkey because they all have our cookbook and they are always saying, how does this taste? Rodney, can you cook this? So I said today I would surprise them with a couple of extra recipe, the smoked turkey.
Chef Patty, who splits her time between the U.S. and Mexico, says she wasn't always tasked with making the Thanksgiving turkey. But she did convince her friends to let her make it, and she gave it a little flair.
One year, I finally convinced them, and I made a turkey pibil style, in the style of the Yucatan Peninsula, which is you marinate it with achiote paste and bitter orange and roasted tomato and garlic and onion, and then you wrap it in banana leaves. And you roast it until it completely falls apart. And so I was making that for a few years. They absolutely loved it.
Woohoo! The Chef Patty goodness doesn't stop there. She even improved on that turkey recipe.
And then a few years ago, I was testing a new turkey for my newest cookbook. It's an adobo. So it's rehydrated dried chiles, ancho, guajillo, you know, a little spice, a little cherry tomato flavor. And then I puree a fresh pineapple and I cook it with piloncillo or dark brown sugar until it turns into a syrup. And I mix it with the adobo. So you get this sweet, sour, spicy adobo sauce. And I marinate the turkey in that. And then I stuff it with cornbread, chorizo, pecans. And now the problem, Melissa, is that I'm stuck with the turkey because my friends don't want to go back to their classic turkey. And every few years, I'll add a new turkey with some Mexican spin. So I've conquered the bird.
Okay, is anyone else so hungry right now? Goodness. But you know what? Even top chefs need to wind down at Thanksgiving. And here's what Chef Samin Nasrat plans to do this year.
I'm skipping the big meal. I think I'm going to make turkey nachos with a lot of refried beans. And maybe actually no turkey, just nachos, frankly. And the reason is because I have spent the last few Thanksgivings with my good friends who live in Southern California. All of us have suffered some pretty intense family losses in the last few years, and we're just exhausted. We don't have the bandwidth to cook and host a big to-do.
We appreciate that honesty from Chef Samin, because the holidays can be hard. One of the other things we asked our top chefs is what's new on their Thanksgiving tables this year? And here's Chef Samin.
What's new this year, I think, is being kind to ourselves, figuring out what actually feels good and what's going to make us feel good rather than doing what we feel like we should do, which is nothing that any of us are very good at. So it's not really so much culinary as it is, I would say, emotional.
I hear you. I mean, we could all benefit from being kinder to ourselves and each other. For Rodney, this season also lends itself to healthier options.
I wasn't always a grilled vegetable guy, but now that I'm eating a little bit healthier, I said definitely bring the vegetables to the table. That's new. And here's something that's new to me that's going to be on the table. Salads.
I do love a good salad. And for Rodney, the meaning of these last few Thanksgivings are special for another new reason.
Last year was actually my first sit-down Thanksgiving. Usually we're working throughout the holidays in the past, and usually my family would take a little trip and go out of town, and I would sit home and eat turkey sandwiches that I smoked myself. So to actually sit down with a family for the first time and have a full dinner was just last year.
So for Rodney, the act of sitting down for Thanksgiving dinner is his Thanksgiving story.
This dinner tells the story of getting to know the holiday itself, for one. Two, learning that family's not always related to you. Sometimes you meet people and you have this connection that is so strong that they feel like the family that you grew up with.
Samin's Thanksgiving story is a little different.
I think the story that this dinner tells is that I've entered a new part of my life. I'm trying a little bit at a time to listen to myself and ask myself what I need and encourage my friends to do the same.
Chefs Patty and Rodney told us what they're most grateful for this year.
I am grateful for my family. I am grateful that we are all in good health. I am grateful that I have the opportunity to continue doing my work, which is really going around Mexico and the US, trying to bring a microphone to people to share their stories.
I am grateful for this year, good health, family. I'm grateful for having such a fun and amazing job that it allows me to build relationships with people through food.
And Chef Samin had this Thanksgiving wish for all of us.
I hope everyone else has a really nice time and a nice meal and gets to spend some time together and some time outside.
I know that's right. Happy Thanksgiving, y'all. And thanks to our three great chefs, Samin Nosrat, Patty Hinnage, and Rodney Scott, for sharing their time and Thanksgiving genius with us.